From around the planet, here is That Which Is with John Roger. That Which is presented by MSIA, the Movement of Spiritual Inner Awareness, a movement dedicated to the awakening of the spiritual heart within each of us. John Roger is the founder and spiritual advisor of MSIA, the founder and president of the Institute for Individual and World Peace, and other organizations for the purpose of improving people's lives. John Roger is a best-selling author, and he has been teaching and conducting seminars for many years. This seminar is entitled, Peace is Present, Excerpts for Maintaining Loving. Right after John Roger speaks, we'll tell you how you can obtain more information about the movement.
We have a statement, we say, peace is present. There's not a qualifier on there saying, peace is present when there's no violence, or peace is present when peace is present. We're saying peace is present. Now, if you care to be upset about that, peace is still present. If you care to be angry and blow your stack, peace is still present. And it's just allowing you your expression. So if you decide to express peace is present, it's in a high state of cooperation with you already. So even though there's like a violent situation going on, if we did not have a reference of peace, we would not know the violence. So if we, when we have anger, the only way we know anger as such is there's a reference of peace there also. So we could be angry in a peaceful way and have the results physically and behaviorally show peace, even though there's tremendous anger about it. Sometimes the anger comes up as a protective device. And we express ourselves in anger. Well, if your child were to run out in front of a car and you've told the child not to do that, and they're old enough to know better, but they're just going to, and then they turn around and look back at you to see if they're getting away with it, and do run into the car, you will be very, very angry at them because they've put themselves into jeopardy. And you'll also be angry at the driver of the car because they're the driver of the car. It doesn't matter who they are. And so that loud, terrifying cry of stop and done in anger can change many things, and it does not have the lack of peace in there. And sometimes anger is an extremely powerful weapon of self-protection against somebody who is out of control and is trying to be violent towards you. You bring up your anger and hold theirs, but behind yours is the peace. And it's not something you understand, it's something you do and then look back in awe of, wow, I had so much anger in there, I held everybody's anger at bay. I out yelled them, out screamed them, and as soon as they stopped, I was immediately at peace. There's no revenge or fighting going on there. There's just a situational behavior. And some people who just see that little slice out of your life says, you know, she fights at everything. They're just seeing one little bit of your life where you say, that was the first and only time that I've ever been angry like that. But when it came up, it astounded you with the power of anger. When it's used correctly, it'll disperse itself. When it's used vengefully, anger is not a good thing to have in your system. Its very nature is self-inflammatory. There's just if I'm going to work out my anger and I'm just angry, that's what I'm going to have. If I want to work on my anger, I stop doing anger and start going towards something else, something that's peaceful or empathetic or compassionate. And that works out the anger by not participating in it. See, that's like fighting for peace. That's got to be, you know, one of the dumb things going. And yet, people don't want to fight for peace. They want to fight for subjugation of somebody else. It's not a peaceful action that's going on at all. It's one of commanding, controlling, getting them to obey and do things your particular way at the point of death. And some people will take death. I say, okay, kill me. But if somebody came in and said, I'm going to shoot you or your children, what would you do? And I would immediately ask them, who will take care of my children when I'm gone? And I would put the question back on that person, and I'd say, would you please see that they're taken care of? And I'd put more responsibility back on that one. If he says, well, maybe it's best that you take care of him, say, I really appreciate that. Can I fix you something to eat? Peace is present. But if you react, well, don't kill my kids, kill me, you've told him, kill me. And I wouldn't suggest anybody do that. I just ask you, what will you do with my children? You haven't said, kill me. You've just asked him what he's going to do with them. So he senses the responsibility of what his actions will be before he does them. And I think you can get them to turn. That's the good, by the way, that's the good negotiation tactics, too. And, of course, you might say, I don't care what happens to kids, I'm killing you now. Well, you know, it's like your karma just ran over your dogma. And then all you do is give it up anyway. I'd give it up peacefully, so that you don't have to be hung back into here. We're now starting to come into the wisdoms of behavior and getting along and letting somebody who has an issue have the issue till they're through with it, instead of picking up their issue and then giving it to somebody else like a domino effect. We're taking the domino out, so when it gets there, it stops. In other words, when negativity gets to me, it stops. I don't pass it on. Put light in on it, or take that domino out. And some people think I'm going to maybe perpetuate emotion, and I don't. And they get really upset with me that I won't do it, because they also think they're righteously right, and if they are, it doesn't need my help. And if they're not, they don't need my help. And it's true that the media, see, there's a couple questions we have to ask ourselves. Is there more violence now than there was 50 years ago? The answer is debatable because a lot of things happen. One is we want to know what the percentage is, because we're now up to about 6 billion people on the planet, where 50 years ago we were around 5. So percentage-wise, there's going to be more of a lot of everything. The second big question is we have better ways now of reporting things to a mass media group of people than we ever had 50 years ago. So maybe it's just better reporting mechanisms that we have, and there's really no more percentage-wise more violence to anybody. People say there's more crime, and I'm saying, I don't know, there's just better ways of catching and reporting crime. So I don't think you just say, well, there's more because there appears to be more. And one thing is we know that excitement and sensation is what we look for here on the planet, and that's what the media presents to us. And we get it, and we go, wow, and we're all excited, and we're all emotional, and we all get disturbed, and now we're really up in the air about it. Instead of saying, wait a minute, there's violence. Let's don't go do more violence to cure violence. That's like throwing gasoline on a burning fire. We're going to have one hell of a fire. And you say, well, what do you throw on a fire? Nothing. You take away everything that can burn. It'll go out. And I think that we as individuals can walk by the munition factories and not choose to participate in it, and it will close itself down through lack of financial ability as we evolve to the next step of choosing a higher way of being and relating with each other. And there's a whole bunch of people that are running their lives and everybody else's by dollars. And they really don't care who we are as conscious level people, as individuals, as spiritual beings, as people being allowed choices. Because we're going to learn from our choices, good or bad. But if we don't have the choices, we have stopped the learning. And we're here to learn. So if we make mistakes and buy guns and somebody gets killed, believe me, there's a strange karma in there that is prevailing, that those people would have done it some other way. But we're also self-teachers to each other. By our own violence, we teach others not to be that way. But what we're doing is people are running away from the violence in such horrific agony and using horrific terms, when we really might not know that maybe this is just desserts coming upon people and they've just balanced out all their karma. And if that's taking place, we might go, my God, how thankful we are that they finished all that and it's over with, and now they're on to the greater glory of learning and teaching. So what we want to do is make sure that we are learning through the right presentation and the correct presentation of information, and not that we recoil and rebel against those who are in authority to put things on us, because that recoiling and rebelling does not present peace. So being prepared and knowing the processes and issues of peace allows you to recognize them when they appear and suggest gentle approaches to move through into a process. So there's no one has to be forced into acceptance of anything. We just recognize what is available and move towards it. Doesn't mean we'll get it either. Just means we're moving towards it. One of the ways you're going to have peace is to commit yourself to a process of peace, not a situation of peace, because that's stagnant and won't last. It's going to corrupt and decay. But a process of that, where you say, we're together, we're going down. Well, if you're on a boat and you're sailing down the Colorado River, it'll be very peaceful, and you can lay back and get a nice good sunburn and nothing flat. And then the rapids appear, and out of peace comes chaos. And you hit the rapids, and you're hanging on, and you're wondering, why in God's name did you ever come on here? And why did you allow them to let you come here? And why did they take your money? And you can't breathe underwater anyway, and you can't swim, and you go through all of the what you can't do, which is chaos, and then it moves out into still, smooth water, and you look back at it, and you go, well, that wasn't so bad. Yeah, I made that. I'm really good. And you can move back into peace. And it isn't long again until the water descends again. Now, it's really a good metaphor for this life's existence. Almost put it on any situation. And you can say, there's time when it goes peaceful, then it's disruptive. If you just look at those as rapids moving you from one level to another, and keep your eye on where you're going, and in the sense of the word, hang on to your sanity where you are, then you're going to find out it's going to smooth right out. We've talked about peace as being just stop having negativity, cessation of againstness. Just stop being against someone. But what if you don't like them and you're in trouble with them and you're having work relationships with them? Quit. Just quit the job. Well, what would I do after I quit? Look around in the newspaper and find another job, get it secure, then quit. Well, what if it doesn't pay as much? You're going to have to give up something of the chaos to have the peace. And maybe you're giving up a little bit on the financial side. Maybe you're getting more money, but you're working a few hours longer. This compromise is, in a sense, the word, part of a sacrifice. Now, let's define the difference between sacrifice and suffering. Because suffering is when it hurts badly inside you and around you to do or not do whatever it is that's going on. That's suffering. Sacrifice is when you've entered into something holy, something that's sacred, something that's beautiful, that is divine, that's glorious. And so we say, make some sacrifices. I really do very sincerely believe that divinity wants from us a sense of obedience. not the rebellion against someone to follow something else, but the obedience to the word of God inside of us, where we do know and we know better and we will do better tomorrow. But most things are called for in the right now when you don't have preparation. We have to watch the whole use of how we're going to sacrifice for what. Now, you know, it says that out of chaos comes life, comes the beginning. Out of the formless and the void. You can't get something out of nothing, just as an idea. If there's chaos in the void and in the spirit and you can't see it, it does mean that you can still get stuff out of that. You know, we call that karma. And when you're in a karmic flow, the chaos around you is remarkable. You may walk through a street where people are killing each other left and right, and you think you're going to go next, but your karma doesn't allow you to do that, but you die so many times on the way through it that they might just as well have killed you. And you get to the other side, and you feel guilty that you're the only one alive, and the others, why didn't you go instead of all the others? And it's, we're saying, watch out. You're going off into insanity. The crazy would be, God, I just went through a karmic flow. I'm on the other side, and they all died in that. I wonder how important whatever that was, that it all happened that way. The synchronicity of things happening spiritually and into the world are remarkable. Maybe all of us finding the peace. And it isn't finding it here or here, but the whole beingness comes into it. And it's practice in the presence of peace. What would peace feel like? You know, for a while, it'll just be calm and still and stagnant. Then underneath starts a type of a happiness and a joy. And it comes up in a way that is, I don't want to call it methodical nor routine, but very, very predictable. And it comes up, and it is intuition. And it comes up, and there's a joy in it, but there's a peace in it because it keeps things in balance, in harmony, in retrospect. And all we do is flow right with them, just to keep flowing. Does that mean we'll be perfect? No, that doesn't have anything to do with perfect. People in the audience who have specialties of their life will say, well, you don't have this in your consciousness, or you don't have this in your teeth, or you don't have this in your music, or you don't have that. That's fine. That's just stuff out there. Some people say, well, you're not peace. You still got high blood pressure. Yeah, it's because I got a small kidney. Oh, I never knew that. Yeah, but you're willing to jump on it. Why don't you just not jump on it? Oh, well, you see, because I know this information. No, you don't know the information. You just think you know it, because if you know it, you embody it. And you start to walk with peace. When we leave here today, you have a chance to see horses that are going to be at peace. They're going to jump and kick at each other. Then there's going to be peace. And all they're doing is making sure the space around them is kept secure the way they want it kept. And it's very fun to watch them do it. And it's more of a threat than it is a real action. But if you don't want to get kicked by a horse, stand far enough back where his legs can't reach you. And if you don't want to get bit, stand facing them so you can see which way they're going. And if you think that you can walk up to them and just touch them any way you want to, then think about if some guy walked up and just touched you any way he wanted to. He might haul off and bite or kick him. But if you call their name, you get their attention, they come up to you. They're saying, let's go. There is a peace on this place, isn't there? Even though there's been like activity around, there's still been the peace. I think that's really what's important. See, never think for a moment that peace does not have activity in it. It has various forms of activity in it. It does not have againstness in it. But it's got all sorts of other things in it. Can it have disgust? Yes. Can it have suffering and sacrifice? Yes. How about againstness? No, that's not peace, that's war. It can have forness in it. I'm for this and this and this. Yeah, but there's people who don't like that. Right, but at least they know where I stand and they're honoring it by leaving me alone and I'm leaving them alone. And we still have peace. Each one of us represents a very interesting idea. It's really rather a profound idea. I want to leave this idea with you as we close. Each one of you individually is a place of peace. And if you choose to be in a place of peace, and you must make a choice called, there's disruption. If an earthquake hit here, we go, oh, it's going to kill me. Go, be in a place of peace. Why? Because being hysterical will not stop an earthquake. What we want are cool, calm minds to say, everybody stand up and walk through the doors to a safer place, even if it's shaking. When somebody starts to yell and scream at you, choose to be a place of peace. We have to practice that so we get in places that aren't peaceful to keep bringing ourselves back to peace. And the negative things in the world will keep reflecting back to the peace. One day, and that's not too far in the future, the Prince of Peace will be there also. And you'll recognize that your place of peace and the Prince's place of peace are all the same. Then we have the gathering of the peacemakers, but it will be the peace doers and the peace livers. It will be not necessarily a quiet, somber place. It could be ecstatic with giggles and laughter. It may be fraught with activity, but it will not be the morbidness of the existence that we don't like. Think of the good you want for others. Take it to yourself first. What would you tell somebody else to do in your situation of disturbance? Take a glass of water, sit down, breathe in, breathe out. Start to balance your energy field. Then do that immediately. And after you've drunk the water and you're sitting down, you're balancing your energy field, the next step is going to come forward. I need some good entertainment. Try the mirror. No, that's too hard. Get somebody else. Go to a movie. Go to a dance. See a mountain. Look at a river. Look at a tree. Isn't just entertainment in the eye of the beholder as is beauty? Instead of walking in to get something deep, say, no, this feeling I have of just got to have food, I am going to relax with that and let that just be, now I am losing weight. And I am peaceful at that. And you may get up and walk around the block real fast. That is not anti-peace. Peace is cessation of againstness. I'm talking about the peace of foregoing something, to go towards it. The peace of living and loving and learning and growing. And growing, we all know, has got some pains in it. But it doesn't mean you still can't be peaceful with the pain. If you had any idea how many seminars that I have conducted with severe, severe pain in my body, it would amaze you. Because you'd say, well, J.R., you never let on. What difference would that do if I let on?
I've often told people, I got a real bad headache. And they go, you can't have it. You're not doing all the things that a bad headache should do. What am I supposed to do? Lie on the floor? Throw temper tantrum? Or continue on until I outlast it? You also, whether you like this or not, will continue on. You will endure to the end. You will outlast it. Peace will prevail at the end. And so, peace will prevail at the beginning and in the place where we are now. And if peace is going to begin on earth, it's got to begin with me and you and what we do. And that is not to throw away figuring out how to work things better. It doesn't discard any of the realities of life and growing. It encompasses the method by which you're going to do it in a peaceful way. And does that mean there's not excitement and drama? No. Peace has that in there. We must make peace profitable, as we have made everything seem to be profitable. When that's done, then we really, really, really will be a place of peace. Beirut Be'Shem.
John Rogers' closing words were Beirut Be'Shem, which means the blessings already are. The blessings, the ideas, and the concepts which you've heard are just a small part of the abundance of material John Roger has shared with us over the years. If you would like a free book by John Roger, Journey of a Soul, call this number, 1-800-899-2665. You can send email to servicedesk@msia.org or write to That Which Is, Post Office Box 513-935, Los Angeles, California, zip code 90051-1935. This has been That Which Is with John Roger. Thanks for joining us.